Pixagram 31 is conjoining. Other variations include influence, wink, quote, and feelings. Its inner trigram is bound equals mountain, and its outer trigram is open equals swamp. I have traveled to Tsunken, the ancient center of Norfana before the Erectaclism, to study the graffiti that still is visible in some of the partially submerged temples and the swamps at the base of the Glass Mountain. This mountain was created by the earthquakes that devastated Norfana. I have been addicted to pornography since my stay in Baden, and found myself without female consorts. When I got to the university city of Wagnus, I quickly discovered the pornography section of the library. It was full of the history of pornography, and not just from this planet, but from all over the multiverse. When I learned of the erotic graffiti that existed in the ancient temples of Norfana, I was completely obsessed. Legends of strange elaborate graffiti slash artwork with humans copulating with plants, or as some describe them, plant people. I found these legends in out-of-the-way sources in my quest for really strange porn. I decided that I would do an expedition to these temples and see for myself this ancient pornographic graffiti. The preparation Tsunken is located in some of the most treacherous swamplands known. There is no settlements, and the few inhabitants make the backwater swamps of Lishna look friendly. I had a few poor maps of where the temples were supposed to have been. No one has gone here for any reason for hundreds of years, or no one has returned. I got myself a hoverskiff piloted by a rough fellow who insisted on being called Captain Chuck. He assured me that he had been in the swamps before. He said that there was stuff out there that people wanted, but that no one talked about for shame. And then he eyes me as if I had no discretion. Captain Chuck was very skilled, and we made excellent time to the outskirts of the swamps. Once we got inside the tangled bog, it would be slow going. As we sat down on the water, I noticed a group of what looked like large fish, but plainly conducted themselves with human mannerism as they cavorted on the rocks. They had the strangest eyes. I looked at Captain Chuck and all he said was they ain't good eating.
Death is a phantom of ignorance. It does not exist. Everything in nature is living, and it is because it is alive that everything is in motion and undergoes incessant change of form. Old age is the beginning of regeneration. It is the labor of renewing life. To raise up a dead person, we must rivet suddenly and energetically the most powerful chains of attraction which connect it with the body it has just quitted. It is therefore necessary to be acquainted previously with this chain, then to seize thereon. Finally, to project an effort of will sufficiently powerful to link it up instantaneously and irresistibly. The resurrection of a dead person is a masterpiece of magnetism because it needs for its accomplishment the exercise of a kind of sympathetic omnipotence. So this is what you kids at home will need to raise your own dead. 1. Sympathetic speech and eloquence of tone. A great burst of faith and will. 3. Memorials of him or her whom we wish to behold. The articles he used on which his impressions remain. 4. A portrait veiled in white. 5. Their favorite flowers. This may be optional. 6. A lamp placed behind their portrait or picture. And finally, 7. For an operation by day, we will need a crystal prism, a triangle in this case, a container of water, and a single ray of light allowed into our chamber, consecrated unto this person we are invoking. There are 2 types of necromantic ritual, that by prayer, pentacle, and perfume, which is performed in the day, that by blood, imprecations, and sacrilege, performed in the night. Evocation should always have a motive and a justifiable end, otherwise they are works of darkness and folly most dangerous to health and reason. Permissible motives may be either love or intelligence. We love you, Chuck, buddy. Okay, so here are the possible results or things which you can expect once you have raised your own dead at home. They won't reveal the mysteries of the afterlife to you. They're beheld as they existed in the memories of those who knew them. They answer questions with signs, astral light impressions upon the operator, and a sort of interior conveyance between their circuit and yours. They won't answer you with a voice, for how should a shadow speak? With what mechanism does it have to vibrate the air? Electrical contacts are experienced from apparitions and sometimes appear to be produced by the hand of a phantom. Now, for our preparation, for 2 weeks, we must maintain chastity and eat lightly, 1 meal per day, like the monks do. Every evening, for an hour, we are expected to shut ourselves off in remembrance of the lamented person in a chamber consecrated unto them. This is the only time at which the portrait is unveiled as we observe and mourn in silence. Throughout the 2 weeks, we should refrain from extending our affections in the same manner as we would to the individual with whom we are working. Now, the day of the operation, we want to bathe beforehand. We should salute no one as we would the deceased. We should adorn ourselves as if for a festival and eat only a single helping of bread, wine, and roots or fruit. One portion of the bread and wine should be set aside for the departed. The meal should be eaten alone in the chamber with the portrait of the departed veiled. Leave only the glass of wine for the dead when you are clearing away the meal and his portion of bread. After this, you will light fire and incense and invoke God according to the deceased religion. After this, we observe 15 minutes of silence, then speak to them as if they are there whilst praying for them to appear before us. We call them loudly 3 times, wait with our eyes closed, and then we call them affectionately 3 times. After this, once we have communed with them for our purpose and end, we bid them farewell. Upon bidding and the spirit farewell, we must also inform them that we wish not to be tormented by them, and in order to achieve this end, we shall make the adjustments they deem necessary in our day-to-day life. We've made a couple alterations to this standard method presented in Eliphas Levy's Dogma and Ritual of Transcendental Magic, Part 2. Notable alterations we have made include the fact that we do not have 2 weeks to limit chakra. Fasting will last for 3 days. We will be eating fruits instead of roots, and as I do not drink, I will be drinking juice instead of wine, but we will still be providing chuck with wine of some sort. We won't be using flowers. Instead, I have Chuck's favorite fungal growth from the swamps of Nafana. And Chuck's portrait is in black and white, as opposed to being veiled in white. The lamp behind Chuck's portrait will be the fact that it is displayed on a backlit LCD screen. We need these alterations in place to make this a workable ritual for our purposes at the moment. With that being said, let us begin with the evocation / resurrection of Chuck Crump.
Thank you.
peace be with thee. I have not wished to trouble thee. Do not torment me. I shall labor to improve myself as to anything that vexes thee. I pray and will still with thee and for thee. Pray thou also both with and for me, and return to thy great slumber, expecting that day when we shall awake together. Silence and adieu, Chuck.